With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, along now with Dustin Luca, Salem News reporter. Ordinarily, we have reporters from the newsroom, but like Bill Newell, Paul Layton is off today. So it's just going to be Dustin and me. And Dustin, welcome back. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. How's everything going?
Very well, sir. And how about you? How's your week been?
It's been good. Just, you know, doing some family stuff, trying to stay warm, dry. How about you?
Yeah, it was actually, I kind of enjoyed the cold for a change. Usually, it seems lately we have rain at Christmas in warm weather, so I didn't mind that. And
yeah,
it was good. You know, it's funny. I want to ask you, too. We labeled this podcast From the Newsroom. But basically now, in this, I guess maybe since COVID or maybe since the advent of the cell phone, the newsroom is pretty much wherever you are, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's kind of made things a little difficult, especially with COVID. The last time we were all routinely in an office together was actually before the pandemic. We had just moved from our office in Beverly to the one in Danvers, and we were only there for, I think, like a month and a half before the world entirely shut down. So we haven't really been there since. And it's interesting because I'm kind of going through a little bit of car trouble right now where I drive a standard and I think my clutch is on its way out, and I'm kind of like, God, this could be devastating to me. And then I'm like, wait a second, my primary job, I do it from home. I don't have a chance to go anywhere. So maybe it's not a bad thing if I just abruptly and suddenly lose my car.
Yeah, we shifted over from in-person meetings, obviously, during COVID. And we're getting actually a better response by using phones and Zoomcasts, although I'm biting my tongue about the Zoomcast today. Hey, wait a minute. Standard, did you have to pay extra for that?
I actually cannot remember. Like, I don't really have a very good point of comparison because when I bought it, I think it was like 6 years ago.
Yeah. I didn't know they still had standards. I missed mine, I'll tell you.
It was tough to find.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I had to pull teeth for them to find a dealership that actually had a standard, and it wasn't even the color that I wanted. So.
Well, I tell you, I saw a Ferrari the other day, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, I know how to use a floor shift or you know, column shift, but how the hell do you use these paddles on the wheels? I don't get that one.
No. That's what the Formatic is what they call those.
Oh, is it? Okay. I don't know.
Oh,
my goodness. All right, let's get down to business, Dustin. I don't know where you want to start, but I would like to ask you, if you don't mind, about what's going on in Salem with respect to the office of mayor, because we read in the Globe just yesterday or the day before about how Driscoll plans to work with housing in Massachusetts and so on. But the fact is she's leaving, what is it, January 5 or something like that?
Yeah, so I think if I have the dates correctly, the city is going to hold its inaugural, or it's usually an inaugural every other year, but when it's not inaugural, it's just their organizational meeting. That's on Wednesday, and then the state has its inaugural on Thursday. That's where the mayor becomes the lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm.
So the way this is going to be playing out in Salem, they're going to have their organizational meeting on Wednesday the 4th. I think it might be scheduled for noon, but I'm not sure about that. It's not yet up on the city calendar, so I could be wrong there. But normally at this meeting, they would pick a president, and then the mayor would come in and offer her State of the City address, and then that's it. But this year, she will be giving the State of the City address, and it will actually be her final act as mayor, because as soon as the address ends, she will be resigning, and she will no longer be the mayor. At that point, the city council will have selected a new president, and then after the mayor resigns, they will then be voting on enacting, you know, temporary mayor at that point. So I don't have any indications as to who might be getting the nod at this point, mm-hmm. either in terms of president or who becomes the mayor. I know the last time this happened back in the 1970s when Jean Levesque had stepped up after Sam Zoll had been appointed to be a judge. It took 87 ballots and 2 days of meeting to actually come up with a president. These days, they tend to kind of talk behind the scenes to figure out who's going to be getting the presidency the next time around. So it makes me wonder if they kind of maybe have figured it out ahead of time, but I haven't heard anything out of the way.
Is there some chimney?
And it's all going to play out on Wednesday.
Is there some chimney where the white smoke will come out so we can see that a mayor's been or Pope's been selected?
I don't think so officially, but I can tweet a picture of white smoke on, you know, when it happens.
Okay, good. All right. Because I wonder how that works. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's been kind of a mystery over the last several months, and you have cleared that up wonderfully for us. And I invite people again to check out the Salem News, and we link to all of the articles that we talk about. Other stories, Dustin, that you might want to touch on, and I guess an interesting story that's been coming and going has to do with dam mitigation or something like that on the North Shore?
Yeah, so this playing out over with the Ipswich River Watershed Association, because they have, you know, they're the caretakers of a lot of acres and kind of miles of waterways. But as humans kind of, you know, spread around the North Shore and started building, you know, their machines, a lot of places were building dams on rivers to kind of generate power for grist mills and things like that. And as a result, a lot of fish habitats got disrupted, because when you throw a dam down on a water, fish can't swim through the dam. So the Watershed Association is working and has been working for several years to get five of these things taken down or in some way remedied. A couple of them are owned by private organizations, and they're not interested in getting them taken down, but they're going to be taking steps to add fishways, as they're called. Like, I know in one case there's a channel through the dam that fish can get through, but a winter storm actually damaged the path that the fish would normally take. So in that case, they're going to be restoring the path, and then in another dam, they're actually going to be creating the path for the first time. Third dam they're actually be trying to take down, and the fourth and fifth are scheduled to come down next year and in 2024.
Good heavens. And who was the gentleman you talked to? Because I'm looking at your article, and I want people to take a look at it. You've got a lot of quotes with someone on the on this dam thing.
Yes. Yeah, that was Neil Shea. He's their director of, and then unfortunately his exact title is escaping me right now, but he's the one who is responsible for dams being restored, dams being taken down, and things along those lines. So their whole point is, when these dams were put into place, the fish were no longer able to get upstream mm-hmm. the habitats that they had, you know, basically established over the spans of hundreds of years. So This is just a little bit of effort, you know, that's, you know, putting a couple million dollars into the water to restore that activity.
Okay, and according to your article, I'm quoting you, Neil Shea is the Restoration Program Director for the Watershed Association. So I invite people to check that out. It's got a few more details in there, and very interesting stuff. A lot of that so important here on the North Shore, not just in Ipswich, of course. You have several articles on education, particularly in Salem, so talk about that for us.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on with education throughout the entire North Shore, especially where people are kind of coming out of the pandemic and kind of, I think, relearning how to learn. But in Salem in particular, there's been this really big swing toward career technical education, and it's something I've been kind of covering a little bit as it's been building. But it's kind of hit a new kind of trajectory in Salem recently where after 15, 20 years of declining enrollment, you know, they now have increasing enrollment, and as they're doing that, 2/3 of the school is actually signing up for CTE, and it's a number that they've never seen there before. So the school is now working really hard to try to create these spaces that, you know, teach woodworking and stuff like that, because there's never been as much demand before. And there's actually a couple of really cute stories that have come out of this in the last few weeks, where over in the woodworking, you know, group over there, in that technical pathway, they have done a couple of projects to kind of, I guess, just handiwork for people that need handiwork. Mm-hmm. And one of them was the Salem Chamber of Commerce. Whenever there's a major event or, you know, business is opening or goes through a remodel or grand reopening or something, there's always the quintessential ribbon cutting that they do, a big pair of scissors that's really obnoxious. Just broke. The handle snapped off. So, you know, it's because when you do so many ribbon cuttings, because the city is so successful, eventually those scissors are going to need some work. So they gave the scissors to the CTE class. The CTE class turned them around as a cute little plaque saying that they were the ones who worked on it. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, that's a story. And then while I was working on that, Mario Sousa, the director of CTE, mentioned that there was also a family that reached out this past Christmas because they had an ornament of a little boy, that, you know, like a boy angel, that they bought at, I think it was a craft fair or something like that, back in 1999, more than 20 years ago. You know, the ornament's old enough to drink at this point. And they were looking for a companion. So she emailed Mario and was like, hey, do you know... And they came up with it. They were like, sure. They fabricated an ornament, and this Christmas, you know, was saved. And the family had a little girl to go with a little boy.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's all coming out of the CTE class.
That's cool, because I know that kids, you know, you learn theory and you do hands-on stuff. You build stuff that, you know, the teacher says, let's try this, let's try that, according to the book. But then you get something like that that's troubleshooting that actually goes out into the community. That's got to be a great feeling for the kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to have a class assignment or something like that where you're kind of given a lesson and you're, you know, check off the box of completing the assignment, taking the test after. But it's another one to be able to create a product that actually touches the heart of another human being.
Absolutely.
That's what the holidays are all about.
Great story. Terrific story. Now, we want to get a little serious here now. I know that you are working on many, many things as we speak, of course. And I did mention the fact that the Boston Globe had a story on Mayor Driscoll taking over as lieutenant governor and working on housing in Massachusetts. And every mayor that I talk to, and I'm sure. Before I go to that, Dustin, I just want to ask you one other question relating to education. I'm sorry, but I think it was Neil Harrington who's running for mayor, or one of the candidates mentioned that one of his main concerns is education in Salem in terms of some of the quote turmoil unquote that has gone on. But I'm sensing that there's a bit of stability this year. Have you anecdotally encountered that in your covering?
So there's varying levels of disruption and turmoil and also success and stories to be celebrated coming out of Salem Public Schools. And that's something that I think is happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But Salem did have several years where, you know, they went through several superintendents very quickly. They went through a couple of very rapid changes in leadership over at the high school. And then after those rapid changes in leadership, there was a lot of, I think, strife among the student body and even some teachers over conditions in the bathrooms and things like that. And that's all stuff that started to turn to a head as Steve Reich came into the picture, kind of overhauled the administration. And what I'm seeing from a lot of people, there are still complaints about the schools, about students' needs not being met and things like that. But there's way, way, way more praise for the schools
mm-hmm.
than there is complaints at this point. And, you know, more so in the last couple of years. I mean, we're seeing enrollment increase again. And a lot of people are, you know, celebrating turnaround efforts. The teacher of the year for the state of Massachusetts actually was a Witchcraft Heights elementary school teacher.
Excellent.
So
yep.
You're seeing the turnaround after years and years of city
yeah.
officials saying,
fantastic.
We're going to work on it. We're working on it. We're working on it. Three superintendents, three high school principals later, you know, we're seeing the effects of that.
Yeah, I know a neighboring community is going through a similar metamorphosis as well. We don't need to dwell on that, but I do know that one thing, editorial speaking, one thing that irritates me is when people outside of the school system or outside of education complain about low MCAS scores. And I, you know, my thing is, well, guess what? We had a pandemic for 2 years. So, you know, of course you have lower MCAS scores. So what does the state do? They raise the bar for the MCAS. It's just crazy. But enough of that. Now to something more serious, of course, that I mentioned a minute ago was the idea of housing and homelessness. Now, what are you investigating? What are you working on?
Yeah, so there's a very visible story that's been playing out in Salem over the last several weeks. I've been getting a lot of phone calls about it. And basically, if you walk around the city enough, you know that there's a number of homeless people without homes around the city, and they tend to kind of move around as the seasons change. I see them along the pedestrian mall during the summer, and then they kind of hang out over by the armory where they have some shelter during the winter. And this time around, there's a group of homeless that are forming along the front of Old Town Hall right on Front Street in Salem. And it's very visible because Old Town Hall is kind of a landmark in downtown Salem. And if you can think about how the building looks, it's got a, you know, I think two stories above ground and I think a below ground surface.
Mm-hmm.
Couple staircases that go up, and they're basically setting up tents and tarps and things like that in between these staircases so that they can basically create kind of like how you can imagine a cat likes to sleep in the box because they can kind of, you know, be in the corner and they only have one view that they look out on.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what's happening here. And a lot of people have been complaining about this, basically saying, this is so unsightly. A lot of people are losing sight of the fact that it's not illegal to sleep. There are people that do not have homes. Yes, they are out there, and this has now kind of, I think, sparked a discussion, a needed discussion on homelessness in Salem. It's just, unfortunately, it's kind of being taken a little bit out of context because a lot of people are seeing the tent pop up in front of Old Town Hall and are going, well, we're turning into San Francisco now, and we're going to be like a haven for homelessness and things like that. So what I've been doing is I've been reaching out to city officials and basically saying, okay, what's going on here? What are your limitations? What can you do? What can you not do?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I learned as I'm still, you know, having these phone calls right now is that the city did go out there and kind of order them to move with a handed over letter. That was kind of in part based on the fact that they were anchoring something to the building, which is something you absolutely cannot do. The question that I have right now that I don't yet have an answer on is what can they do about like a tent or something like that that's not actually tethered down, no stakes in the ground, not tied to anything. And that actually led me, when I was talking to the police about this yesterday, to basically ask, as a resident, would I be able to grab a tent and then go camp out on Salem Common overnight and sleep under the stars, or is there something actually preventing that? So that's kind of the next question that I'm looking to get answered as part of that.
Wow, yeah.
And that we're looking into, and something that we're working on.
Wow, wow. All right, well, we'll stay tuned for that. Final question, I guess, Dustin, and we didn't cover this in our warm-up, but it is the week of, it's a holiday week. We've got New Year's coming up, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Does Salem have any particular festivities that the city generally promotes?
Yeah, so Main Streets has something going on downtown. I have to really quickly, just because I wasn't prepared for that one, I got to get the location, but I know it's at 6 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Saturday, 12/31, 6 p.m. is run by Salem Main Streets. Where is it? Charlotte Fortin Park, 289 Derby Street. So that starts at 4:30 p.m. to 6, and then the early countdown is at 6 p.m. Beverly has actually something very similar. They have their whole downtown celebration that starts at 6 p.m. as well. And I know every community has some way to kind of bring in the new year with their residents, because not everybody can get down to Times Square. So
not everybody wants to go to Times Square.
No. It's like a bucket list for some.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for covering for Paul Layton and covering Beverly. I appreciate that. And that is Dustin Luca, Salem News reporter. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.